Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Today, we visit a small town in southern Louisiana that is surrounded by water, making for great recreational opportunities, but also means trouble when hurricanes strike. And we talk to a mayor who was born and raised there and has served many years on city council and as the mayor to keep his community a great place to live with a very unique boating festival. We're going to go talk with Mayor Gene Pilot in the small town of Madisonville, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs. And the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's harrelson.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. I'm in the city council chambers, and you small towners know I love recording when I can inside the city council chambers in Madisonville, Louisiana. I'm sitting with the mayor of Madisonville, Louisiana, in his rightful spot. We had to move the gavel because there was a meeting last week when he wasn't here, so the gavel was in the mayor pro tem seat. But I'm with Mayor Gene Pilot. So Mayor Gene Pilot, thanks for joining me on Small Town Podcast.
Mayor, welcome to Madisonville.
Well, thank you so much. I jump right in and start talking about you, but I told you when you started telling me about this, I don't know whether to call it a sign or just this is a great decoration. The behind the where the council and the mayor sit in the council chambers is a beautiful piece of wood with the words Madisonville in blue lit up from the back. And I said, that's a really nice decoration that's kind of promotes your town right in city council chambers. But he said, you wouldn't believe how much went into that as far as decision making. And so even before we get started, Mayor, tell us about what's involved in this and kind of describe it because, you know, we're audio. We'll put some pictures on social media because sure. It's just beautiful. Sure. But talk about the story behind it.
Well, this building we're in, we're only in it a year. We bought the building 2 years ago, had it renovated. And certainly when we were doing the council chambers, very special chambers for us. So something that the citizens were going to see on a regular basis. We wanted something behind the council desk that was really reflective of the town. And we went through a lot of decisions in making, and this being the final decision, it really came to us at the end of the decision making. And the piece of wood is a piece of sunken cypress that came off of a huge tree. It's hundreds of years old. It was found in the bottom of Lake Pontchartrain. So when we found this piece of wood, we actually had to cut off about 18 inches at the base of the tree because it was so big it wouldn't fit on the wall.
Oh, wow.
The piece of wood was milled. It was finished. The sign really is very reflective of our area.
Well, it's really beautiful. That was a good last minute add. So if that wasn't planned in the beginning and that came together at the end, it definitely gives a pop to the room. It was very impressive. So, all right, well, we've learned about the sign in the council chambers of Madisonville. Let's learn about the mayor in the council chambers in Madisonville. So I'll start with my same first question I ask all my guests. Were you born in Madisonville, Louisiana?
I was. Yeah. Yep. Born in 1952 and right here in Madisonville. We had a small hospital, small clinic, but was born right here in town. The building still stands. It's been used as a bank, a hospital, a library. The most current spot was, or used for the building, was a police station. Today it's vacant. It was flooded out during Hurricane Ida. So it's vacant. We're going to be remodeling it. But it was in existence until 1956. As used as a hospital, a clinic hospital, was closed down when St. Tammany Parish Hospital opened up in Covington nearby.
Do you have, you said that you're renovating it. Is it something the city's involved with as far as kind of the revitalization? So what's the plan for it as far as what it's going to be?
Yeah, the town owns the building now.
Okay.
So we'll be renovating it and either using it for rental space, commercial rental space. It's a split. It's two-story, so we'll be renting part of it and also using part or the down floor, the first floor, as some type of municipal building.
Well, let's go back to, because since you were born and raised here, you get to answer this question. And a lot of folks I talk to, yes, they're born and raised, and there's some have a journey that started somewhere else and brought them to the town they're now leading in. But what was life like in Madisonville growing up? What was, and I'm sure things have changed, but I'm sure some things are just like they were. So talk about that, being born and raised here.
Well, yes, I mean, it certainly was a small town. It was much more country then than it is today. Madisonville surrounded by water, and whether it's a river on one side of the town or the swamp below us, we were very fortunate to live in a community that gave us a lot of outdoor activities, you know, whether we were skiing on the river or hunting wood ducks in the swamp, catching crawfish during different seasons. It gave us a lot of activities that, as a young boy, we just got lost and wasn't really, you know, our parents wasn't worried about us or concerned about us because when they looked for us, they just did a head count, make sure everyone was still there.
Everybody's there.
Yeah.
Nobody got taken by a gator.
No.
What, let's see, you went to high school here, and I'm sure the high schools, I get this a lot in all the states I'm in, a lot of consolidation. So is the high school you graduated from still in existence as it is, or has there been some consolidation?
Actually, we traveled to go to high school. I went to high school in Covington.
Okay.
Covington High Lion, and I went to high school there. I was going to tell you, my wife's from Madisonville also, so yeah. We've known each other all of our lives.
High school sweetheart?
High school sweethearts, actually junior high sweethearts.
Oh.
So we've been married, we've raised our children here.
Yeah.
And now today I actually live in my home that I grew up.
Oh, okay.
Grew up in.
Nice.
I grew up there, we ended up and we were fortunate enough to buy the house and raise our kids right here in Madisonville.
Yeah.
In the same house I grew up in.
You mentioned about going away to school. So since I don't know my geography as well as you do here, where's Covington? How far away is that to go away? Is that in the next parish?
Covington, same parish. It's 6 miles north of us.
Okay, okay.
And so it was just a neighboring community that's
so
right north of us.
Wasn't a high school here in town because it's small enough as a town, so you went to the next place over. And that high school still
Correct.
Exists as
it does.
Okay. When you graduated high school, did you go anywhere for any period of time or go off anywhere?
Went to Nichols State for a short period of time.
Okay.
But ended up back here, started working, worked in the insurance business for 43 years, actually.
Oh, wow.
But started with a company, a small company, and moved on to a different company at maybe a year after being in the business and stayed with them for 43 years.
So. And that was that right here in town or listed
actually,
nearby?
No, the office was in Hammond.
Okay.
And I drove to Hammond, which is in a neighboring community.
Right, right.
Yeah,
not too far from here.
Not too far.
I had to pass through there to get here.
Yeah, yes. Stayed with that company for all that time and promoted through the ranks and at one point had to leave town because of promotions and ended up leaving for a total of 10 years. But staying here, knowing keeping our house, yeah. knowing we wanted to retire and come back to town.
Where were you for 10 years somewhere
else? For 10 years, part of that time was spent in Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Okay.
And then there's a two-year period that was, I lived in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. You've kind of already answered this question because I asked this when people born and raised and are in the same place. It sounds like you never had a desire to be anywhere else. But I'm curious if maybe graduating high school, going off to school for a little while, was there ever a thought of, all right, this was nice for growing up, plenty of stuff to do outdoors, but I want to go off somewhere else. I want to go to the big city. You said you lived in St. Louis for a couple of years. Was there ever any temptation to kind of be somewhere else, or was this just always get back here as soon as possible all through life?
It practically was get back as soon as I could. You know, truthfully, going to Nichols State, and that was in Thibodaux also, mm-hmm. was a good experience. When I had a chance to move and go back to Thibodaux in 2000, it was really a move that broke our heart.
Yeah.
You know, we were leaving home,
yeah.
both of us, for the first time, me and my wife both. So it was really a big, big decision to go, but one that I really had to make, and the step I had to take in my profession to move it forward.
Okay.
Coming back was always the plan.
Always the plan. Never temptation to go somewhere else.
No.
Well, at some point in that plan, you got into public office, obviously, since I introduced you as the mayor now. That was the start to all that. So at what point did you decide to get involved in public office, and how did that story begin?
Well, actually, public office began very early.
Okay.
But just being part of the town even preceded public office. I was a member of the volunteer fire department and a member of the Youth Boosters, which was a group of citizens that really ran the park.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of it was, you know, there was no paid positions. It was all voluntary. And
heart for the community work.
Yes, that's where you grew up. I mean, making it better. Public office started in 1976.
Oh, that is a lot longer ago than I would have thought.
Yeah, 28 years total as a councilman here.
Wow.
24, and then we left town in 2000, came back right after 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, out of politics completely while I was gone,
yeah.
decided shortly after coming back that I would try it again.
Yeah.
And I ran for council and was reelected. And 4 years later, ran for mayor.
So what made you want to run for council initially? And then with a 10-year break, because I know there's some joys from personal experience, but I also know there's some headaches from personal experience. So you were free. And when
that's
you moved
true.
Back, you decided to jump back in the fire.
That's true. And certainly while I was gone.
Yeah.
You know, what was my initial thoughts? I mean, really, it was an easy decision. I can remember back when wanting to run for council was just an automatic, it was an opportunity to really make our community better, work for the community, have a voice in the direction that we were going to go in. From the beginning, it was an easy decision, and you're certainly right. There are times when you wonder why, but during the 10-year period, being out of town and not being in politics, there was a good feeling about that. It was an easy feeling, and it was not it didn't feel like a target on your back.
Right.
With every move.
Blood
you
pressure stays even.
Yeah. Possibly helped in that phase. And initially coming back, I really didn't have a thought about running. Got back in town, and certainly still young enough to really want to see the town progress in a positive direction, and having the experience outside of town to see some things that we could bring back to town and do here that would make our community more attractive, more pleasing as a community. And I just felt like all of that drove me back into the urge to run again.
Yeah. Well, what now? You came back. When you came back, when you decided to run again, it was for council. And you said, how many years once you came back did you run for council before you ran for mayor?
Just one term.
Just that term, four-year term.
4 year term.
So what made you decide to go for the mayor's seat?
Being on the council, the length of time that I was on the council, going through my life experiences, I just felt like it was the right time. It was an opportunity to run for the position and really make my thoughts and my ideas more available. It was just a good time and a good opportunity. I just felt like I've been on the council long enough. I'd had that experience, and I certainly had an idea of what the obligation was going to be as a mayor. And I knew that it was ending. I was ending my career in the insurance business, and I could devote full time to the position.
So now, how long have you been the mayor now? How many terms?
Two terms. In my second term.
In your second. Okay.
I'm now presently 6 years as mayor.
Well, first of all, let me ask this. This is always just a fun question. At any point, either council or especially the two times you run for mayor, did you have opposition?
Both times. Both times as mayor had oppositions. And
did you have to run against the incumbent the first time you ran for mayor?
I actually ran against a very good friend of mine that was mayor pro tem.
Okay. So you were both on council. He was the pro tem.
He was mayor pro tem.
But the mayor was not running for re-election.
The mayor did not run for
re-election. Okay. And I hope you guys are still friends.
Very good. Very good friends. We're good friends.
Good, clean campaign. That's always better.
It was a very good campaign, clean. And
because those can get messy sometimes.
They can. And fortunately, ours didn't.
Yeah, good.
I certainly can say that about both times that I ran for mayor. I had opposition. They were both very cleanly run. And both candidates talked about themselves more than, you know, and what they had to offer more than each other.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be.
That's good. Madisonville runs clean campaigns. That should be, use that as a slogan. I want to ask this, and what you're saying, it sounds like you just wanted to generally make things better in your community wherever you could, both running for council and for mayor. But were there any specific, I don't know, whether call them initiatives or kind of specific topics or areas where you wanted to focus? If not, when you ran all those times, once you got in, did you become more aware of things that, okay, we really need to focus on this area over your career?
I think the directions that I wanted to focus on were always in front of me. I could see the recreation, the beautification. The town itself had either a boat landing or a cemetery. It just stood out that there were areas in town that we could do something to improve and to really spotlight our town as to a place that people would want to visit, people would want to go to, and also an opportunity to showcase some of the historical sites that we had here in town.
And as you're moving forward, are you halfway through your second term?
I am.
Two more years. So, what are some things that you're still maybe wanting to do? Some things you've been working on that you feel like you're not quite there, but that's kind of a motivation for you. Anything kind of in the pipeline to be like, okay, here's what when I leave office, I want to be able to have accomplished X.
Well, the hurricane certainly gave me a lot to do between now and the end of the second term. So for the next 2 years, we're now, as I told you earlier, we're moving into this new building. It was a building that we bought, renovated, and moved into with part of our utility systems and our administrative part. We moved into just before Hurricane Ida. Our police department, who also has a wing in this building, moved into it after Ida and after they flooded out.
Yeah.
Our old town hall / community center flooded only a week and a half after we moved into this building.
Wow.
We didn't move into the building because of the storm,
but glad
fortunately
that you did.
We were in it before the storm
Nobody
came.
Wishes a storm, but your timing of moving
was
perfect.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect, yes. So we're about 90%, 95% finished remodeling that building. We've had a lot to do since the storm, and once we finish that building, then we'll be moving to the old hospital renovate it. And to
that's got special sentimentality for you, right there.
It certainly does. I think it does for the entire community.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't the only one born there.
No, and it's amazing to me how many people once Facebook can be very positive.
It depends on who's using it. Yeah,
and each time that the hospital is shown, it's amazing to me how many people will say, "Hey, I was born there," or my husband was born there, or I remember ideas or thoughts and just come out of the woodwork.
There's plenty to be said for tearing down the old and making the new and doing improvements, but there's also plenty to be said for the preservation of structures that have some kind of special meaning, old schoolhouses, hospitals, various things. And so being able to preserve that, I think, means a lot to a lot of people. And even if it's got a different purpose, it's still there.
Oh, absolutely.
And commemorating what it has been and what it's meant to the community in different ways. It sounds like that particular structure has had several different uses through the years.
And it certainly, it gives a lot of talking points.
Yeah, that's right. I want to take a pause here and ask you, because you know, a lot of my audience is in Georgia, where I'm from, where many of the episodes come from. But I've got people all over the place, and they probably just see on the news the big hurricanes that have just really bombarded Louisiana over the past couple of years. Just describe, you got a couple to choose from, but I think Ida was the most recent and the one that had the most impact on you guys right here in this part of the state. And I've talked with other people in Louisiana. Westlake comes to mind, mm-hmm. the late Mayor mm-hmm. Hardy, because he was inside his city hall when the wall actually fell. Now he was unharmed, but the people inside just thought, oh, they'd be in a safe place. And people just can't imagine. They just see the pictures, but to have someone give a personal account. So talk about Madisonville, what happened here, and the immediate aftermath. You say you're still cleaning up, and Ida was how long ago?
2 years.
So you're still feeling the effects of a hurricane that hit here 2 years ago.
Yes.
And I think the news cameras leave after about 2 weeks. And the cleanup goes on for 2 years. That has an impact on me when I talk to folks like you and hear that. But I want to give you an opportunity to kind of describe what was that like? What does it do to your town? And then, of course, the resiliency of these small towns that have to go through that is always impressive.
And I said 2 years. It's not 2 years ago. It was just last year, really.
Yeah.
Last year. But the effects of it, I'll give you a personal account of it. I told you that I live in my family home. That's the house that we live in. Is over 100 years old. It's been in my family for that long. First time it's ever gotten water in it.
Wow.
Was last year during a hurricane.
And it's not like it's the first hurricane this
region's
seen.
Not like the first hurricane. We were in the house, me and my wife and my oldest son. It was as far as my personal experience, and I've been through a lot of them, it was the most wind and the most water we'd ever seen or had in Madisonville. As I said, my house has never gotten water in it.
And it's been up for a long time.
It's been up for a long time. So how did that affect me? After the storm, it was several months before we had to move out, but we moved out and had the house raised. Mm-hmm. So the house is raised today, 3 foot higher. It's at flood elevation now, and hopefully we won't experience ever that again.
Right.
We just moved back in the house 4 months ago.
Wow.
So since the storm, there's been a lot of changes there. And we've had a lot of family homes and a lot of homes elevated here in town.
I noticed it looks like some of I drove around before I came to town hall, and there are several, and they look like the newer homes or recently renovated homes if they were raised like yours was, and they're up on columns.
Yes.
And so, they're parking their cars completely under the house. And that's all that's there.
It's some of them certainly chose to do that. I didn't choose to do that. I went up and I got it to flood elevation, but I really didn't want, I didn't want more storage and more opportunity for my wife to put living room furniture and hanging plants. And
you had to weigh out a couple different variables.
So I didn't go that high, but there's some that chose to go up higher and park underneath.
Just to give people a sense of, because I hope everyone's looking up where Madisonville is on the map, but how far are we from say, New Orleans or the Gulf Coast?
New Orleans, we're only 30 miles from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we're right on the north side, north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. Actually, the mouth of our river, Chifuncta River here, goes out to the lake.
And that river is essentially, because I crossed it and realized I was leaving Madisonville town limits. So that was kind of like the boundary of the town. So I'm sure that river can go up and down.
Yes, it can. And that is the boundaries. And the river is the prettiest river here in not only the parish, but in several parishes. It's a beautiful river. As you travel from the mouth of the river all the way up to Covington and past Covington on the river, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. No, I got a chance to drive around and see you saw me come in. I had coffee from Abita Roasting Company.
Correct.
A coffee shop right there on the river. So that was wonderful. I'm glad I got an early enough start this morning to get some good coffee. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Yeah, it's great things. Right on the river, plenty of boats, and houses and restaurants. And so for a small town, you certainly have a lot going on. So
yeah, that's the beauty of our town. And as you see the town, you know, we've got four blocks of riverfront.
Yeah.
That's the charm of the town, certainly, or one of them. We're a boating community, hopefully, and we recognize and realize that we're now a boating destination for a lot of people.
I want to talk more about Madisonville and all the wonderful things about it, but I got this one segment I want to make sure I get to. It's a get-to-know-you question so the audience can get to know the mayor, okay. Mayor Gene. We're going to get to know you a little bit. I got four questions for you. First question is, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname? You can go as far back as elementary school. Oh, he said, wow. You must have a really good one or several to tell me about.
Man, I tell you, this is one that I don't know if I want to tell you. It was Peter.
Peter?
My sisters called me Peter. Now, I have no idea
just
why.
Just randomly? Now, I did notice on I guess it's your placard here, in your middle initial is P.
Yeah, it's so, Pierre.
Pierre?
Yeah.
And they called you Peter?
Peter, yeah.
I have For no apparent reason. Do they still call you that today?
No.
Just as a child?
There's so few people that do call me that.
So they got it going. Your sisters called you that, and they got all your friends in school to call you that.
It wasn't something that stuck with me, but there's a few guys, a few people that still
know. Still everyone's going, what's up, Peter?
Yeah.
And you, to this day, you don't know why?
Don't know why, no.
All right. No. Any other nicknames?
No, that was it.
Or any nicknames you can actually explain? All right. Peter. I like Pierre.
Yeah. Very French name. When you get to it, you know, certainly the Jean is Jean.
Right.
So
but
Jean
you go
Pierre.
By Jean.
Yeah, I go by Jean.
So, Jean-Pierre.
Yeah.
But Jean, Peter.
Yeah. Where that came from, I'm not sure.
All right. Second question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? You're in a karaoke competition for the honor of Madisonville.
Go-to karaoke. Oh, gosh. You're gonna make me... make me say let's see George Strait. Can I think about that one?
Well, I tell you what, we'll pause on that one. There's actually another one that'll help you out later, because I got two music questions. So, well, actually, you already said George Strait, so that one might not help anyway. All right, this one's easier though. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
You know, this will probably catch you by surprise. But
that's why we ask these get-to-know
you
questions.
So I'll really catch you off guard and say crawfish.
No, I thought something was coming out of left field. That one came right out of the river.
Yeah, it came right out of the from the swamps right behind us.
All right, final question. Then we'll go back to the karaoke question. If you had a chance to attend the concert of any singer, band, duo, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
Elvis.
Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
All right. Would you? We'll go back to the karaoke question now. You want to sing an Elvis song?
No.
Oh, we're going back to George Strait.
I don't want to sing a George Strait song either.
Well, you got to for this contest here.
I would say it's Amarillo by Morning by George Strait.
All right. Amarillo by Morning. All right. Thanks for letting us get to know you.
Yes, you bet.
This Louisiana episode of Small Town Podcast is produced in partnership with the Louisiana Municipal Association and is sponsored by Louisiana Economic Development. LMA and LED invite you to visit and enjoy the small towns of Louisiana. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, Mayor Gene, I want to talk more about Madisonville. And actually, I should ask you this. We started talking about it before as I was setting up everything. What is the population of Madisonville?
Right now, it's 940.
And we were talking about that because those who've listened to the Louisiana episodes know sometimes I talk about in Georgia, there's just cities, and it doesn't matter what size you are, that's the only incorporated municipality category there is. But here in Louisiana and other states as well, there's cities, there's towns, there's villages. And so if you're under 1,000 population, that puts you in line for a village. You're not the first person that's told me we're just under, but we're still a town.
Yeah.
So explain that again for some folks who maybe hadn't heard it before.
Well, that's been questioned, and actually, at our council meetings, it's been questioned, because under the Lorison Act, which most communities do act, that's their
act, kind of those guiding principles, yes,
that they work under. The Lorison Act identifies communities by population, whether you're a village, and that's under 1,000 people. Or a town,
1,000 to 5,000,
1,000 to five, and then a city is over 5,000. So, we certainly, if we were governed under the Lorison Act, we would be considered a village. It's truly the way we're looked at if we're applying for grants or anything that type of assistance. But we're not governed by that. We're governed under a special charter that was given to the town by the legislature in 1814. That charter states that the incorporation is Town of Madisonville. So whether we're considered by the Lorison Act or not as a village because of the population, the charter is actually Town of Madisonville.
Now, I'm going to test your civics knowledge in your own state. I'm curious if you know, 1814, you said, is when the charter was established? Was this a larger populated place then? Was it, or maybe they didn't have those divisions of 1,000, 5,000, you know, segments or whatever.
No.
So they just called it a town, and then they came up with the divisions later, but you were grandfathered in to always be a town.
Yeah, okay. I think the Lorison Act came after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wasn't looked at in the chart at all by population. It was just a title.
And you're not the first that's, like I said, there's other folks that in the smaller towns, in these rural areas, especially as you've got, and we even talked about this, there's plenty of people that live right outside Madisonville that would call it home that like you said, they told you they voted for you.
Yeah, they're thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're in the parish, but they're just in the unincorporated parish.
Unincorporated.
But their post office address says Madisonville. This is where they come to do their shopping and come in, you know, come into town and take care of their business and probably go to that post office.
they certainly do. In the unincorporated St. Tammany Parish is the area outside of town between here and actually the parish line has grown so much over the past few years. The storms, that we go get back to those hurricanes, the hurricanes that impacted the South Shore, St. Bernard, Chalmette, you know, different areas south of here impacted those folks. And when they got ready to rebuild or to move from their homes, they located here right outside of Madisonville.
You're not the first person I've talked to in Louisiana that's talked about growth in your area, even if it's not specifically inside your town limits. You guys are growing as far as the commercial activity and some of those things because of hurricanes. It's kind of one of those, I guess, unintended consequences. There are people that left New Orleans after Katrina, among other storms since then, and then just they still wanted to be in the area. You're talking about people that just move north inside the same parish. They didn't want to leave. They still consider this area home. They just wanted to move to farther north, maybe slightly higher ground.
Well, so different you guys parish, are, though. Different
parish. Okay, so different, that one is a
different
but it's
parish.
One parish,
yeah, south of the lake, the North Shore, St. Tammany Parish is all north of Lake Pontchartrain.
Okay.
And
but some
a
of those
lot
other
of our,
cities or some yeah. of those other municipalities you were talking about, they're yeah. in the next parish over.
They're okay. in the parish okay. south of us, yes.
But just by one.
Yeah.
It's not like they're moving hundreds of miles away.
It certainly wasn't.
A little more distance between the Gulf and them.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's actually kind of spurred some growth. Again, not in a way that anyone would wish on anybody, but it's just one of those unintended consequences. And so have you had some, I guess I'll call them growing pains? Are there, because it's populating your area, if not your town, but that's going to put demands on your city services or town services?
Well, it certainly has impacted our town. And we talked about it earlier about our town being a small town and really country or rural until some of the growth started happening to us. And you know, we experienced the problems with the infrastructure, not inside the city limits with our gas or water, but roads.
Yeah.
The roads just have not really been developed for the population growth that we have.
Oh, okay. So that's your new challenge.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And something that, well, and I say new challenge, I don't think I've ever sat down with anybody for the purpose of this podcast and them say, our infrastructure is fine. It's never had any issues. Everyone's talking about dilapidating infrastructure. It's hard to keep up, some of which is because of growth that kind of outpaces expectations. And so that one's always good. It's like you're on a treadmill.
you're so right. I did call you mayor earlier, so I know you've experienced that. You know, our water, our sewer, you know, certainly infrastructure was, it is an ongoing challenge and an opportunity for you to continue to improve your community and it never goes away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's there.
Well, I want to ask about this because I saw a sign as I came in. You are the home of the Wooden Boat Festival. So tell us about that, how long it's been going on, and what all is involved with the Wooden Boat Festival.
Very unique festival, wooden boats. You know, that's just not really
most
something.
Of them are fiberglass now.
most boats you would find are fiberglass, you know, and a wooden boat, really, the festival brings out some gorgeous boats and some boat owners who truly, truly have classics.
Yeah.
You know, they work on them constantly. There's their hobbies. It's their life. And you know, these boats are gorgeous.
And are these mostly motorboats, sailboats, both? As long as it's wooden, it doesn't matter?
It's wooden boats, okay. You know, and most of them are, you know, I shouldn't say most of them because several of them are cabin cruises that have, you know, will bunk 6, 8, 10 people.
And, yeah.
Just luxury boats.
Yeah.
I mean, just boats that you want to date yourself back in the time when they were the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what all is involved with the festival? Obviously, the river must be filled with boats.
It is. It's
and know, are the, people allowed to tour them, or is it kind of like a classic car show where people get to go kind of see all the boats? You get to go aboard.
Most of them will welcome you aboard. They give a little tour or guided area or allow you in some parts of it, any of the boats. Yeah. But the riverfront is full of boats on the water and also on land.
Okay.
And the four-block area is shut down to traffic, and it's strictly a walking festival. Certainly have some bands and some craft shows, and it, there's things to do and see. There's also a kids' tent where the kids get to build wooden boats.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And some of the gentlemen that work with the kids and will create a boat for them right on site.
Wow.
And work with you know, very popular tent, as you would expect.
Imagine.
It'll last 2 days. It's a Saturday and Sunday event. And it ends with a unique race. And that unique race is because we also have teams of builders who start at the same time with the same amount of material. And they build their boat from the time the festival starts until Sunday afternoon. And they have a day and a half to build the boat. And their team may consist of 4 to 6 people. And normally, nobody tells them what to build, how to build it. But the boats compete, whether by sail or by rowing. They have to float, obviously. They're put into the river.
They get disqualified if they sink right away.
And certainly, it's very entertaining for everyone in sight. There'll be a parade of the boats. They're carried by their team down the water street, and they're put into the water, and there's a race.
So how many of these? That's so interesting. So how many I guess, as teams of builders are there around? I know it's going to vary year to year.
Yeah, it varies, but there's anywhere from 8 to 16. Yeah,
so it's somewhere around 10, 12. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm varying in both directions, but you just got teams of 4 to 6 guys or girls. Sorry,
right.
didn't mean to be sexist.
People.
Competitors, and they are building a boat from scratch in a day and a half, and then you put it in the river, and either sailboats against sailboats, rowboats against rowboats,
all against each other.
Oh, all against each other.
All
okay.
against.
Oh, I thought you had
different. How you want to get there is
you
up
build
to
the
you.
Fastest boat.
But they're given. Keep this in mind. They start at the same time.
Right.
They're given the same amount of material.
Yeah.
So the material list is all furnished.
You can build it as small as you want, but you're limited by material to build it as big as you want.
Correct. It can hold 1 or 2 people.
Okay.
You're limited by the material. It's really, really interesting.
That sounds really
to
neat.
See because some of the designs and their painted boats, they're really are pretty amazing what people can actually do in that set period of time.
You said it's a 2-day event. You told us all the things going on. You made everybody want to come, but we need to tell them what time of year.
It's in October.
October, okay.
October 15th, that weekend.
Okay.
The good thing about it is that this year it'll be actually the first time in 2 years.
Okay, haven't had it. Yeah.
All experienced COVID.
Right.
And it has affected
and I guess
everything.
Last year you had some hurricane cleanup to deal with.
I'm sure we did.
Added to it too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So we're praying for no storms.
No storms
and a successful wooden boat festival this year.
Yes.
All right. What else activity wise? That sounds like it's fascinating enough, wooden boat festival and all the stuff that goes along with there. But what are some other things that people could participate in if they wanted to come visit Madisonville?
As I told you earlier, Madisonville is a boating community and certainly our river gives us the opportunity to host people on a regular daily basis or a weekend. We'll get people to visit the town who come from New Orleans. The Yacht Club in New Orleans will come over usually once a year as a group, and we'll shut down one side of the river or the other, and they'll bring in anywhere from, again, 12 to 18 boats. The group comes over to spend the weekend. They dock on the river. They'll cook one night. They'll visit our restaurants and certainly support our community. They have a band normally that'll play till about 9 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the guys who were just visiting with us last week, setting up the time for them to come over, he was making a point of it that, hey, we're gonna have the band till 9 o'clock. He said, we're just all too old. We're ready to go to bed after that time.
So it's a quiet boating community.
It certainly is. It's a very welcome sight. But the boating activity is on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We certainly see people not only fishing, but enjoying the river, just the scenery and what the river gives us.
Well, Mayor, as we kind of wrap up this episode on Madisonville, I want to give you the same opportunity I give all our guests and let you talk directly to the Small Town Podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit, or maybe they should come move to, with a raised house, maybe they should move to Madisonville, Louisiana.
Well, Madisonville's a unique little town, and I'm sure most mayors would say the same thing about their community, but being the mayor of Madisonville, I tell you that historically we have a lot of sites that you would want to see to visit. Spending some time in Madisonville would certainly give you the feeling of a small town, a very walkable town, one that the community welcomes visitors, and you would feel very comfortable, very safe, and very it'd give you an opportunity really to reflect back to when you were a child, when you were growing up in your hometown. It certainly has, the main street here in Madisonville is Mulberry, and so many people can reflect back and think about Mayberry and really end up here in Madisonville. And we do have that type of a feeling of a community. With the growth that surrounded the town, it certainly hasn't changed our town and the feeling of our town, and what we try to maintain as a small town image, a small town feeling, one that you can sit on the banks of the Chifuncta River, get that cup of coffee, and really reflect on years gone by.
Mayor Gene Pilott, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
You bet.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Gene Pilott for talking with me. I also want to thank the Louisiana Municipal Association and Louisiana Economic Development for partnering and sponsoring this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and the Greater Harrelson Chamber. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.